coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Lutheran Radio UK, and it's time for another episode of the series Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. And this week we're looking at Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 to 2a and 14 to 18, and how it is that the Lord serves us. So from the English Standard Version, our text reads, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, Long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who has brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, and out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, Joshua proclaimed in verse 15. These words may be familiar. We put them on tastefully done wooden plaques and perhaps mount them near our front door. Then there are the posters, bumper stickers, books, toys, and more. We want everyone to know that we are Christians and fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And so did the people of Israel. Therefore we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. And so we say this with the people of old. But Joshua also told the people, Not so fast. Remember that it is not in yourself that you are able to serve the Lord, and that he is a holy God and has often had occasion to be a jealous God. Chapter 24, verse 19. As we heard a few weeks back, God requires nothing less than service with our whole heart and faithfulness that does not falter, which is why, despite our enthusiasm at times, he is mostly disappointed. Even as the people of God, we honor our vows but for a while, and then soon enough we begin to worship other gods. They're not posted up in the entryway, but they are elsewhere in the house. A flat-screen TV is perhaps mounted on the living room wall, trophies well-polished and on display in cabinets for all to see, from the football game you or your family member won one Sunday morning, or the flower show, or the dog show, or the rugby game. Yes, whether or not we have a cross posted up in our entryways, our walls share their spaces with our other gods. What we're really saying most of the time is that we'd like to make Joshua's vow our own. As for us and our houses, we'd all like to serve the Lord. But how can we? As sinful as we are, just as sinful as Israel was, how can we keep our vow to serve the Lord? In other words, how are we really ready to commit ourselves to the Lord? Hopefully we can all say that we know God the Father sent his Son to die and rise again to save us. We can at least commit ourselves to this faith. We know that Jesus has freed us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. We know that the Holy Spirit came to us in baptism to make us his sons and daughters. Yes, we still observe these rites, thank God. And why? Because we want to love the God who has clearly and unequivocally loved us first. We are moved to commit our lives to God because of his love for us. It is too great to measure, and so everything we do is in one way or another in thanks to him for his infinite measure of love for us. So indeed, in every way possible, we should say, As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We can, and we should, for the sake of Christ. But quite simply, it is not as easy as it seems. We serve other people and other things too, and sometimes it's hard to recognize what does and does not come from God. what is to be considered a blessing and what is not. But actually, when you think about it, it should not be that hard. The easiest point to know is whether or not someone or something interferes with your right relationship with God. In other words, is something or someone stopping you from being able to receive what God means to give you and often? Sometimes there are legitimate reasons as to why this relationship may be hindered, but there is a big difference between occasionally being hindered from this relationship and making a pattern of neglecting this relationship. It may well turn out that we have started to rely on another person or thing other than God, and this means we may well be devoting our time and energy on someone or something else wrongly. We may even be putting our trust in something or someone other than God, setting ourselves up for a fall. It may not seem like it at first. It may even seem like it's an instrument of God Himself, just helping us along with God and His Word, especially when it is financially related. We think God wants us to be as prosperous as possible, and so it must be in line with God's will. But such thoughts are dangerous, especially when you start to trust in this other thing during times of trouble. For you may end up replacing God, or your need for God, or even blaming God when the thing you trusted in fails you. Because you thought God put it in your life for good, when it fails, God has also failed you, somehow. Martin Luther explains our gods in this way, "For these two belong together, faith and God. Now I say that whatever you set your heart on and put your trust in is truly your God." Whereas, at the end of the day, God wants us to trust in Him alone. Usually we end up also relying on other things, those gods beyond the river or in Egypt, as our text would put it. Some trust in wealth, others in a drug or drink, others even in relationships. The truth is that all of us tend to trust in many other things in this life. And so, again, the only real problem is that even the best and most reliable things in this world will sooner or later fail us or pass away, and so we may end up cursing God, or our relationship with God is hampered in one way or another, but especially when we stop giving our time to God at least once a week. Even the largest fortunes can evaporate in a stock market crash or through spending or natural disaster. Drugs and alcohol make you feel good and forget your troubles, but sooner or later they will exact their price. Spouses and families support us in times of trouble, but they also become ill and die. Fame and popularity very rarely last long. "What have you done for me lately?" is the rule of fame, or "What is my God doing for me?" instead of "What can I do for my God?" Essentially, because we make poor choices to trust, we also end up making poor choices to serve, and we end up breaking our vow to the Lord for these misdirections. So here's the point of transition for us. Now, by setting our sights straight as to what or in whom we can better trust, we will see how we can serve the Lord, as we wish to mimic Jesus even, who came not to be served, but to serve. But in doing this, thankfully, as equally essential, we see that it is God who can be trusted not to fail when we need Him the most. And so instead of using God as our refuge simply as of last resort, and far from waiting until all other support systems have failed before we cry out to the Lord, we are to continue to thank God for ever faithfully conveying His mercy toward us, thereby giving us the strength to be merciful ourselves. Clearly, it is God who deserves our complete devotion, having set aside His glory for our sake. "For having become incarnate, He was sent to earth by God the Father, was born of the Virgin Mary, and became one of us. He lived a perfect life of service to God and to His neighbor, which because of His sacrifice is, funnily enough, now credited to us. Again, the only reason we can do anything is because Jesus served us by giving His life as our ransom, carrying our sins to the cross, where He paid the penalty of our unfaithfulness to God, whereby in His death and resurrection, He earned forgiveness of sins for us." It's amazing. Even though we were unfaithful to God, God was faithful to us. Now we have life and salvation in His name. And we are to then also understand that it is only by this truth that Jesus served us in this way that we can now serve the Lord and our neighbor. So when we're tempted to depend on earthly things more than on God, the Holy Spirit reminds us through the Word and sacraments where our true security lies. And when we consider all that God has done for us, we respond with praises for His many mercies. And we can boldly say with Joshua and the people of Israel, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It will not be easy, for we still are inclined to trust in things that cannot bear the weight. But we have the necessary strength from the God who served us and gave his life for us, the same Jesus Christ from whom we receive such help that we know we cannot fail. In his name and for his sake. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. Thanks for tuning in. The podcast of this program is also available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Aumann. I serve St. David's Lutheran Church in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. This Sunday we have our usual program of Lutheran study at 9:45 a.m. before the main divine service at 11. All are welcome to join us. As for next week in Faith That Functions, we're looking at the Gospel lesson, Mark 7, and how, though we may have dirty hands, we at least have clean hearts. But for now, I pray God's peace be with you, now and always.